Bibles tonight, Psalm 127. Psalm 127, amen. If you was here yesterday, you heard this psalm, a portion of it read, well, the whole thing really, and it was a blessing, and I tell you, we were just blessed to be a part of the service, to be able to be here yesterday, just a witness what God has done in two lives, amen. And I'm thankful that He has worked a work in their heart where they want to have a family. They want to have a relationship that's built on Him. Amen? And I'm glad that when we allow Him in, amen, He makes a difference. And we thought about this, and it just stirred our heart. Pray for Brother L tonight. He's preaching up at Asheville. And they didn't have a service this morning, didn't have anybody, so he's preaching for them there tonight. He preached up there last week, and he said until God changes his heart, he'll preach when they ask him to and needs him. So be much in prayer for Brother L. Psalm 127, and we're just going to let you be seated tonight. We know we stand in reverence and honor the reading of God's word, but folks just look so tired tonight. Amen. I'm just going to let you sit down. The Bible says in verses 1 and 2, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. In vain, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for He giveth His beloved sleep. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You for the service and the time of fellowship that we've had tonight already, God, in You. And Lord, help us tonight as we look to Your word, Father, just to be stirred by Your word and just to use it to help us to grow where You'd have us to be and to do what You'd have us to do. And Father, we'll praise You and honor You in all things. In Jesus' name, we say amen. You know, I got thinking about that. If we took as much care and as much concern about our spiritual life and our spiritual house as we do about our physical dwellings and our physical beings, I think we would see a big difference in our lives spiritually. Amen. Isn't it always the way that it goes? It seems like, well, just look around you tonight, and you can see this morning we were sparse because we got so many folks away, and the numbers have been down, and in the evening services they're down because everything is more important than building up our spiritual houses, amen? And if we took the care and took the time to build in our spiritual house, we would find out that it would make a difference in our lives as we face the toils and the trials of life as we go through this world. You know, Charles, he's a builder and a contractor, and he does a lot of building, and he can tell you there's some things you always find out about the building process. I've been in the process of a few houses myself, and I can tell you I found it to be true. It always takes longer than you planned. Amen. And I don't care which side of the fence you're on trying to do the work or trying to get the work done. It always takes longer than you plan. It always costs more than you figured. Amen. You always run into something. Have you ever watched them home improvement programs on TV? And they start out, and they're especially the ones that are going to flip the houses, and then they go tearing a wall out, and they reveal something, and they find out that the whole thing's rotted away. And it always costs more than you planned. And it's always messier than you anticipated. Amen. There's always a mess when you're building. Amen. And somehow or another, it always gets worse than you anticipated that it was going to be. And me, I'm the type, even when we're building and things are going on, I want everything cleaned up every day. I don't want to keep just stumbling over everything, and it just gets to be a no-ending process, amen, trying to keep up with the... It's always a messier process, and I don't care if you're going to dig a hole, it's got to rain the day before, amen. You know, it's got to be muddy when you dig. Or if you dig the hole and it's dry, it's got to rain and fill it up with water so that it's going to be muddy when you get to work in it. It's always going to be messier than you thought it was going to be. And the most important thing and the hardest thing of all, it requires greater determination and more patience than you thought it was going to take. Amen. Anytime you get into a building process and you begin work, it's that way. But you know what? It's the same way with our homes. Amen. It's the same way with a Christian home. It's always going to take longer to get it to where you know it needs to be or want it to be. And there's a great cost to building a Christian home. Amen. In this world today especially, there's a cost to maintaining a Christian home. And sometimes it's not pretty. Amen. It gets messy. There's feuding and fighting. There's some things that are going on that keeps it from being the tranquil place that we want to do. And it takes determination. Some people just want to quit and give up. But praise God, we got the help that we need in doing it. And let's look at some things that Psalm 127. Three things I want you to see here tonight in your physical home, your physical relationship as a family that you need to see in your spiritual life and your spiritual walk, your spiritual house, some things that will apply in our church as we try to build a church and we try to function in this world as an ecclesiastical body, as the body of Christ in this world. Some things that I trust will help you as we look at building a house. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. First off, we know that we got to build a house, and we're building on all three of these planes at the same time. But it's always good to get a reputable builder. Can I get an amen? You don't want some fly-by-night working on your property. What's that? They got a place now that you can call. What's it, Connie's List or something? Angie's List. Yeah, well, I knew it was something. Amen. Hey, it's Angie's List, and you can call Angie's List and subscribe to it, and you can tell them that you're looking for a contractor to do something, and they will give you a list of reputable contractors that you can find. If you're going to build on something, you want somebody working on it that knows what they're doing. Amen? And the Bible tells us, except the Lord, brother. I tell you what, if you're going to build a family, you want the Lord in the midst of it. You want the Lord in charge of it. If you're going to build your spiritual life to be the life that it needs to be, you want the Lord to have control of it and to be guiding and directing. And if you're going to build a church, and we want this church to be what God wants it to be, we want Him in control of it. Amen? And I tell you what, when we get things in the right progression, in the right order, things work out. You know, the Bible said over in Luke that, you know, a fellow built a house, and he digged deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, he said it could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. And he said there's another fellow that he built on the sand. And when the storms come, the house couldn't withstand. And the fall of that house, he said, was great. That's what's happening in our world today. Houses, people's lives are falling, they're shattering because they haven't established their lives. They haven't established themselves on a firm foundation and built upon rock. It takes some deep digging sometimes to get to the rock, but praise God, when you get to the rock and you build on the rock and you establish your building on the rock, it'll stand the storms of life. We build, we want a foundation. We want walls and we want a roof. We want a whole house, but we want it started right. We want it to have stability on a good, firm foundation. And the only foundation I know to build anything upon is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We want walls. We want security in our house. And we want to know that we're safe within our walls. And the only thing that I know of, and the only place I know that we can go and find true safety is in the arms of the Lord. Amen. And then we want a roof over top of us for serenity, that we might have peace and that we might be comforted and that the storms won't beat upon us and the heat won't beat down upon us and we can have peace within. And the only way that we can have peace within is if we allow the Lord to do the work. Amen. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. People are trying all kinds of ways and all kinds of things to build in this world, and to build their lives on philosophy, to build their lives on knowledge, and to build their lives on everything else, and lives are falling apart. But those who build on Jesus are standing the storms of life. Amen. Aren't you glad we can just turn it all over to Him? Amen. We can just turn it over to Him. We said, take care of it. Charles, we can call Charles up. Say, Charles, I got a project for you. He said, oh, no, not Pastor Dennis. Why? I don't think he minds me so much. Oh, no, it's Joanne. And she wasn't here to get to hear it. Amen. She'd been working him to death. Amen. But call him up and say, Charles, I got a job for you. He stops by. He stops by and says, this is what it's going to take. This is what it's going to cost. And this is what the result will be when we get done. Amen. And I say, okay. And you know what? Charles is a reputable builder. I got confidence in him. And when Charles shows up on the job, I don't worry about it. Amen? I'm not going to be concerned with it. I'm going to let him. That's the way our lives are when we allow the Lord to be in control. Amen? We can turn it over to Him and say, Lord, you do the work. You show me what I need to do, and you do your part, and I'll do my part. You be the God, and I'll be the creation. Amen? You be the potter, and I'll be the clay. Amen. You be the builder, and I'll just labor to do what you want me to do, and I'll allow you to build. Amen. What you need to build for my family, what you need to build for my life spiritually, what you need to do in my church, that my church might be more of, what is the church? What is this church here? It's a collection of people who are the church. Amen. If we want the Lord to be in control here, we got to turn it over to Him. Amen? And we got to say, Lord, you're the master builder. Cathedrals used to sing that song, Jesus is a master builder. Amen? An awesome song. And if we just learn to trust Him, because He is a master builder. He is the one who can bring a work to fruition, and He is the one who can accomplish something. Jesus is a master builder. But then we see the second part of verse number 1. It says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. We not only need to build the house, but once we get the house built, we need to guard the house. Amen? I don't know about you, but my house has been violated, and I know what it is to live in a house when you've been violated, when you've had somebody break in your house, and you're there, and you confront them face to face, and you're making decisions and determination about what you want to do, and it takes away your peace. It takes away your serenity. We have never got over that time when that fella broke in the house. I had the upper hand. I just didn't know how much of an upper hand I had at the time. But even to this day, at night, I hear noises. I don't sleep as sound as I used to. And I never was a sound sleeper anyway. The least little sound gets my attention. And she can tell you there's times I'll be sitting up at night just listening because I heard something. We got to guard our houses. My house is guarded very well. Thank you. It was guarded very well the night they broke in. Amen. I'm just glad I didn't have to go any further than what I did. But I believe in guarding my house. I believe in protecting my family and my friends. You see, there's danger that we have to contend with. That's why we have to put locks on the doors and locks on the windows. I guess pretty soon we'll be like many countries where we'll have to have bars on the windows as well, or metal screening to keep the vandals out. It's getting that bad. But, you know, we try to guard our house, and we try to guard what we have, because we know that danger is lurking. We need to be the same way in our spiritual life. Amen. But I tell you what, there's no greater guard to have. There's no greater one to be watching. There's no greater one to trust all that you have to than the Lord. He said, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waking. I can sit up all night with my M15, my AR-15, M16, whatever you want to call it. I can sit up all night with it. I can have my 45 with this laser sight strapped right on my side. I can have a couple other guns. Personally, I like a gun to be in hand's reach anywhere that I'm at. Personally. Hey, Matt. You know, I don't think a fellow should ever, it's just like having a Bible. Hey, man, I got a Bible where I can grab a Bible anywhere. I just like it that way, personally. Hey, man, I want to know that I'm secure, but I can sit there with all my guns, amen. I can sit there with all my devices. I can have a security system and everything else, but if the Lord's not taking care of it, it's meaningless. Amen. If the Lord's not going to keep it, it doesn't do a thing. Except the Lord is the watchman. Except the Lord is the one keeping. The apostle Paul told Timothy, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The thing of it is what do we give to him? What do we give to him in our relationships and in our families? How much of our children and our lives together, our spouses, do we give to the Lord and ask the Lord to keep and ask the Lord to guard and ask the Lord to watch over? How much of what we have are we giving to the Lord and say, Lord, it's all yours. You're just letting me borrow it. And I just need you to take care of it because I'm not always there. Praise God. He who watches over Israel, the Bible said, neither sleeps nor sleeps. Lumbers, and praise God, you know what? The same one that was watching over Israel is the same one that's watching over me. I'd just soon commit everything to him and trust him with my family. Now, I like the old saying that says, call on God, but row away from the rocks. Amen. I have a responsibility. I still need to lock the doors. Amen. But I trust in the Lord. There's danger. There's danger from without. But folks, there's danger from within. Amen? There's danger from within. Marriages are falling apart, and nobody from the outside has affected anything in their lives to cause marriages to fall apart. It happened from within. Families are being shattered, and families are falling apart. There's danger from within. There's always something. We read about families, moms and dads, being killed by their children. We read about children that are being killed by their moms and dads on a regular basis every day. Friends, there's danger from without, and I'm aware, and we're all very cognizant of the danger that's without, but there's danger within that we need to be wary of. Amen. And we need to turn our families, we need to turn it all over to the Lord. The Lord knows what your kids are up to when you don't. The Lord knows what mom and dad's up to when no one else does. We need to let him be in control. We need to let him be the watchman and the guard that keeps us up to date on what's happening. Let me tell you what, spiritual discernment is a whole lot more valuable than the most high-tech security system that you'll ever put in your house, because it's the highest tech security system that was ever known unto man. Do you know when the king of Assyria was trying to track down the armies of Israel, and they would get there, and the army of Israel would be gone. Amen. And then they hear they're over there, they'd go over there, and the army of Israel wouldn't be there. They would be gone. And the king of Assyria said, you know, there's somebody in our army, there's somebody in our midst that's telling what's going on, that's telling what's happening. And one of his advisors, one of his generals said, no, the man of God is in Israel. And God tells him, what's going on? God tells him where we're at. Friends, we need to trust our families, the security of our families, the security of our marriages, the security of our spiritual, to guard our minds, to guard our hearts, to guard our lives, to guard our church. We need to trust God. And we need to learn to listen to God. Listen to him as he speaks to us through his word. Listen to him as he speaks to us and ministers to us by his spirit. And he shows us what's going on. Spiritual discernment goes a long way in guarding against the dangers that lurk from without and within. And lastly, we built a house. We got the building. We want to guard the house. And we got to provide for the house. So many of us, so many of our jobs and so much of the lives that we live today have got so busy and so frustrated. My wife can tell you, sometimes I get just plumb frustrated. I just get plumb angry and aggravated over how little time. You know, probably in the last 5 days, there's things I need to tell her, but we haven't had the time together. And she can tell you, we haven't had the time together alone without other things encumbering us to where we can sit down and just talk about some of the things that we need to discuss. Our lives are so, it's easy to get that wrapped up. But folks get so wrapped up in making money. Get so wrapped up in providing for the house that they never get to enjoy the house. I work with guys, and Brother Billy can tell you, we've had some fellows that they got they call them the managers, have the heavy hitter list, and they watch on them. Guys that are just blue collar workers that are making $200,000 and $300,000 a year, but they're virtually living on the railroad. They're there 24/7. You say, how can that be? Oh, they grab a cat nap here, they grab a cat nap there. They send them from one job to another job, from this to that. And there's times when your time laps out, and they have to pay you while you sleep and they give you a few minutes to sleep, and you get up and you go, and you just 24/7 living on the railroad. They're making all kinds of money, but they're not enjoying the money that they're making. They can't enjoy it because they're never home. They can't enjoy it because it's kind of like a story I read. A little boy, his dad come home from work one night, and his dad was so just wore out and tired, and he come in, and it sounded a lot like me, I have to admit. And he come in, and the little boy says, "Dad, how much you make an hour?" He says, "What are you worried about that for?" He says, "Well, I just want to know what you make an hour." He says, "I make $10 an hour." Well, what difference does it make? The little boy says, "Well, Dad, can I have $2? He says, "Go to bed, son. Leave me alone. I'm wore out. I'm tired. Don't bother me. I just want to go rest." And he went to sit down, and as he thought about it, he said, "Well, I don't know what he wants $2 for. It must be something that he wants. Maybe I'll just give him the $2. He got up, and his little boy was in his room, went to bed. Dad goes in and says, "Here, boy, is that $2 you wanted? I don't know what it is that you want, but here it is." The little boy reached under his pillow, and he pulled out $8. And he said, "Dad, now I have $10. Can I have an hour of time to spend with you?" Isn't that sad? That's the... I see women are... It's so sad, but it's so true. We get wrapped up in providing for our families. We get so wrapped up in doing things that we neglect the spiritual. You can be so busy. You can be so busy doing things for the Lord and neglect the important things. You remember Mary and Martha? You remember Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, taking in every word, and Martha was busy about the house, and she was encumbered with all the company that was there, and feeding the family, and feeding the company, and preparing. And she said, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that she's left me to do all this work, and I'm busy about it all?" And Jesus said, "Martha, Mary's chosen the better part. Mary's chosen the good thing. Mary's chosen the important issues." And we need to remember that as we do the things that we do. As most churches go, you have a handful of people that are doing everything. As most churches go, the ones that are doing everything are doing two or three jobs because they're the ones that are doing everything. And if there's not enough people to do everything that needs to be done, then some people need to take on two or three jobs, and they need to work a little bit extra hard because there's so much to do, so much to be done. And we get so encumbered with the motions and the work and the things that have to happen to make the church look presentable, to make the outside look presentable, to make things go the way that they should, and to minister to the needs of the church family and the needs of the many that have all kinds of needs. I got a track in here I'm looking for, and I got so much junk in my Bible, it's falling apart from all the stuff that's in it. But I got a track in here. That's the old story. You all know it. Everybody, anybody, somebody, but nobody. Amen? And I save it because I like it. And it's so true. And, you know, there's always something that needs to be done. There's always something more to accomplish. There's always another program. There's always another ministry. But, you know, the Lord said, "If I be lifted up," He said, "I will draw." You know, we can't program the church. We can't program our things to grow. We need to depend on the Lord. We need to trust in Him. He said, "It's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows." What did Paul say? "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." You know, why do we worry about things and we get anxious and we sit up late and we rise up early and we strive and we strive and we strive and we strive to do what needs to be done when all we need is the Lord? You say, "Well, I need more money." You know what? There's never been anybody that can stretch a dollar greater than Jesus can. Amen? You say, "Pastor, I got bills due." There's never been anybody who's met the needs greater than Jesus has. Amen? You know what? You say, "Well, preacher, I don't know. And I got to be ready for what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen the next day?" Well, there's nobody ever made better preparations for us in our lives than what Jesus has. He's prepared for us for all of eternity. There's no uncertainty. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but praise God, I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. I don't know what I'm going to need to provide for my house tomorrow, but I know who provides for all my needs and has promised that He always would. Folks, in our physical life, in our spiritual life, and in our church, let's not get so wrapped up and so encumbered with doing that we forget to trust Jesus and trust Him to meet our needs. Sometimes we run ourselves ragged for no need. God's got it all under control. My wife told me last week one day we was talking about something. Had to quit everything and go do something. And she says, "You know, one day this isn't going to matter anymore. But what we're doing now will. So true. And we need to remind ourselves of that. We need to be cognizant of that and aware of that in everything that we do. We can build our families up, and we can build and build and build and build and have and have and have and have. But if God's not the one doing the building, if God's not the one doing the gardening, if God's not the one that's doing the providing, all our work is in vain. Amen? Let's build a spiritual house. Let's build spiritual homes. Let's build a spiritual house personally within. Let's build a spiritual church according to God's built-in plan. Amen? And let God have his will in his ways. We stand to our feet.